It is true that there are plenty of things in this world that are disturbing between the news that we've just talked about and the things that we face personally. Oftentimes, life can feel pretty overwhelming. How do we navigate this world and all of these things that overwhelm us? And the truth is, we've heard it all before. Oh, it happened for a reason. God is trying to teach us something. Or God is in control. You hear that one most often, I think, when there's a major tragedy. Just believe. And I'll pray for you. And we react against those answers that don't work for us, that try to make it into something it's not, that seem plastic and like they don't really answer the cry of our heart. Truths that have been turned in such a way that they don't help and actually end up hurting us. You know, the truth is that God might use a bad thing to bring transformation into our lives. But God doesn't give us bad things to teach us a lesson. God doesn't make bad things happen for a reason, so that we will learn something. And yet God is able to transform situations that we think are beyond hope. God has given up control to free will. And yet we persist in saying God is in control. And yet if God was in control, we scream, why did it happen? Why did you let this happen to me or to my loved one or to people that I hurt so deeply for? And the truth is that God has allowed us free will and allowed people to do things that are destructive. Or I'm all out of blind faith. I just can't believe just because I'm supposed to. Prayer. What do you think I've been doing? My knees are raw. I hurt. For too many of us, the church is a place of denial and living in non-reality. It's full of quick fixes. Full of quick answers. And as a friend said to me one time, we always went to church dressed up in our nice clothes in denial of the reality that was happening at home. We pretended that everything was okay. So what do we do? There's nothing new here. I have said everything I'm going to say today before. But I think sometimes it's good to remind us of things that we know, that we have heard. The first thing is to tell the truth. The whole unvarnished, real truth without pretense. Including how you feel about the whole thing, because that's part of the truth. This feels rotten. It sucks. And I don't like it. And I feel hopeless and helpless. It's okay to say that. You put all of the pieces out on the table, including the ones that obviously don't fit together. How can I have this and this be a part of my truth? And yet, we often find ourselves in those situations. Another thing is to do it with someone else. Or in a community of people that you listen, that you trust to listen with you. So often we face difficult situations by ourselves. Don't go it alone. We were never meant to do life alone. We're social beings. We were created to do life in community, and we need each other. And the truth is, by ourselves, it's way too easy to get caught in dead ends. I go down a path and I cannot see any other way it could be. And I get stuck there. And I feel like I'm at a wall. And, you know, I'm at a dead end and I don't know how to turn around. I don't know how to do something different. We need others to journey with us in those places. So find someone else to listen as you lay the truth out on the table, all of it, in unvarnished, whole ways. And then listen. Listen and allow God to speak into that situation. Not even about way forward. Just speak. Listen to God who is present and invite God to speak to you. What do you hear? What do you hear? When you are ready, invite God to show you the next step. For those issues that you face directly and personally, I would encourage you to consider a meeting for clearness to sit with you. A meeting for clearness is a Quaker concept, an idea that we can invite people that we trust to sit with us, and we can bring the question that we hold to this group that sits with us and helps us listen. Because, you know, when we're in those places, particularly the closer it gets to home, we find it harder to listen. We find it harder to sort and to find what it is that God is saying in that. So in a meeting for clearness, we invite others to listen with us and to help us listen. It's not a time where we invite all the advisors in our lives to come and tell us what to do. It's a time to listen together with God and invite God to speak and to listen in community. For those larger issues, the larger issues that maybe don't feel personal so much because they don't directly impact me and something I can do, but they're how do I respond to poverty or to these bigger questions that I hold that weigh me down. Again, I invite us to do that in community. To not simply carry that alone, but that we as a community, as a larger community, seek leadings together. How is it that we're to move forward? And don't try to solve the whole thing. Just take it one step at a time. There's a Quaker phrase that says, live up to the light you have and more will be given to you. You know, I think often that we want the whole answer. We want the whole enchilada. What am I going to do today and tomorrow and the next day? And how is it going to be resolved? What will it look like? How do I get there? I want to know about how to get there. I don't want to know the next step. And yet, that's what we're given, is the next step. More will be given in good time. And trust that what you are given is enough to begin. It is enough to take the next step. I think oftentimes we can't see around the corner to what's next, to what the second step is until we take the first step. Kind of like looking for something, and until you get to the place where it is, you don't know what you need to do to find it. And so trust what comes, that first step, that it is enough to simply begin again. Live up to the light you have, and more will be given to you. But there are some other truths that I think are really important to hold throughout this process. The first one being, you are enough. We are enough. I don't mean that you're enough to do everything in front of you, or to do everything that you wish you could accomplish, or everything that you could fix in this world, that you're enough to just step into that. There will always be more to do than you can possibly do. There will always be things that you are aware, I can't in this case. But you are enough to do everything that God asks of you. You are enough to do everything that God asks of you. And we as North Seattle French Church are enough to do everything that God asks of us. We are enough to follow leadings. We are enough to take the next steps. We are enough to do the peace that God gives to us. God doesn't ask for perfection or success. God only asks that we be faithful. I think it's really important for us to shift the questions that we're asking to what does it mean to be faithful in this? Can I be faithful in this situation? What will it look like for me to be faithful in this situation? How can we be faithful in this? Can we move forward with this decision and be faithful? What does that look? For me, that changes everything. I'm so busy focusing on what's right or wrong, or what do I need to do, or what's the answer, or something that actually takes me away from the truth and the reality. How can I be faithful today, right now, with whatever is in front of me, with whatever is in front of us? When I bring my full self and put it before God and am faithful to what I can do, then we trust God to make something of that. And we wait and see what God will do. You know, it's the loaves and fish miracle. What they had was two fish and five loaves of bread and about 5,000 people. Not possible. But they brought what they had. They were faithful with the thing that they had. And God made up the difference. We bring who we are. And we trust God to fill in the gaps. That takes us to trust. Sturdy trust. This isn't about belief or about knowing things. It's about raw, hanging on to God trust. Accepting that God is with us. And that God lives in the gaps in our lives. We all have gaps in our lives. And that God is with us and lives in those gaps. It isn't about trusting the outcome, but about trusting that God is with us always. That God will never, ever leave us. Ever. We tend to focus on the outcome. Have faith in the outcome. You know, they talk about like having faith that the chair will hold you up when you sit on it. Rather, I think it's about trusting that God will be with me should the chair break. Life doesn't always go the way we want it to. That's a truth. But God is always with us, no matter what. And I need to know that I'm not alone when the chair breaks. Our trust is in God, who is with us and meets us where we are. I don't have to have it all together. I don't have to be somebody that I'm not. God meets us where we are today. The truth of where we are today. And together we walk forward step by step. We choose to live unafraid. Fear not. We choose to trust God, that God is with us, and that we're going to live with God who is with us. And then we continually go back to listening and ask God, what's next? You know, this isn't a listen once and go forth and thou shalt accomplish. It's a constant listening for new movement. A constant process of following the nudges as they come. A constant listening for redirection and re-movement. No, this way, over here. That we pay attention to the God movement all around us, as well as within us. Pay attention to what God is doing. And we continue listening. Remember that God's strength and power is made perfect in our weakness. That feels backwards. You know, we think that if we do good, God will help us out. But we come just as we are. Nothing more, nothing less. And the rest is up to God. It's also a process of continually asking, what's mine to do? What is my purpose in all of this? What are you asking of me? There's a story of a man who was to carry water every day from the well back to the house. And every day he lost water on the way to the house, apologizing about all the water that he lost. And the answer was, no, look at the flowers on the path from the well to the house. Is it my divine purpose to carry water back to the house? Or is my divine purpose to water the flowers? You know, the truth is that things won't always go as expected. We think we're to do one thing, and it doesn't quite come together. And those are times that I've learned we need to stop and ask, what is my purpose in this? Was it what I thought? Or is there something else? What is it that we are called to do in this? What is our purpose? Are there expectations that we must lay down? Is there a new purpose? So when things don't go as expected, pause and ask again, what is my purpose in all of this? And all along the way, practice goodness. Do the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I would add perseverance. Hang in there for the long run. And do what you know to do. Do goodness. Love people. At a time when you feel like you don't have enough, act out of generosity. At a time when you don't feel loved, love someone. At a time when you feel inadequate, reach out to someone else. Hang in there for the long run. In the end, I think the whole thing comes down to trust. This radical idea of trusting God. Trusting that God is with us and will never leave us no matter what. That there's nothing that we can do, absolute nothing that we can do that will kick God out of our lives. Not every church will teach you that, but I believe it to be the absolute truth. In case you didn't think I said it right, there is nothing you can do that will kick God out of your life. And then trust God on the journey and trust that we are enough to follow our leadings. That we are enough to follow that which God gives us to do, to move forward, to take a step, and to hang on with raw, radical trust. Let us wait in open worship. God is here. What is God saying to you this morning? What is God saying to us as we listen and wait in the silence?